Columbia, roll on, Columbia, roll on. Your power is turning our darkness to dawn. Roll on, Columbia, roll on.
When I tell people I'm a tracker, they look at me funny. I think they would like to ask me what that means. What it means is that I've been trained, or I should say I'm being trained, for the last 20 years to see signs of the passage of humans and animals on the landscape, whether people might not notice it. We've all seen these movies where the native guy gets off his knees and says to whatever white man is there,
"He went that way, Kemosabe."
These movies are based on actual skills that people who live close to nature have. Nowadays, though, it is a skill we can go to school for. I've studied animal tracking and with various mentors and human tracking with a school designed to help searchers find lost people. Well, that's the backstory. Now let me tell you about a night I got called to my search and rescue group to find two boys that hadn't come home from fishing. At the briefing, we were told that the two boys had been on their bikes and didn't come home around dinner time. They were staying with their grandparents, and they weren't really familiar with the area, but they did know how to get back from the river where they'd been fishing. The grandparents and various untrained helpers had been looking for them for a few hours with no results. The closest thing to a result was a place along the steep road where it looked like someone had gone over the guardrail and down a steep bank into a deep, fast-moving river. The sheriff wanted the rest of us to search the land areas, but he was also thinking about calling out a dive team. As a tracker, I was asked to go look at the area by the guardrail. When I got there, there were definitely tracks, but that was because the team had already rappelled down there to see if they could find any clues. They told me that the clues stopped at the river. There was no sign of the boys or their bikes, so they guessed that the slide marks they found were made from something else. I was reassigned to work on a road driving crew with two of my favorite rescuers, Keith and Kent, a pair of twins. We drove down all the dead-end roads on the other side of the river, and I got out and looked for sign with a flashlight. This was rather tedious, and my two partners were on that old search mantra. They aren't going to be over here anywhere because there's no way they could have crossed the river. Being good searchers, though, we worked hard to clear the areas that we'd been assigned. I did find some fresh tracks a bit up the river from the slide marks. I looked at the slide marks I'd looked at before, and I called them in, but the deputy thought they probably belonged to other searchers. Just when everyone was getting really discouraged, I overheard another team reporting in that they had found a handprint in the middle of a dusty road. I asked that they preserve it and let me come look. When we got to the road in question, one of the other team leaders gave us directions, but added that there was no way the boys could be up there because they were on bikes and they wouldn't have chosen to ride up that steep of a hill. My red flag came out. Whenever someone tells me there's no way a kid would do something, a siren sounds in my brain. Because if they'd done what everyone expected them to do, we would have found them hours ago. When something or somebody is missing, it's because they are in a new place, a place where you wouldn't expect them to be. When I got to the handprint, I sat in the dust and looked between the footprints of the searchers and the tire tracks, and sure enough, I found about an inch of mountain bike tread. The handprint went along with a knee print and signs that someone had fallen off their bike right there in the dust. I knew it had to be our boys, but other searchers weren't convinced. From the bike accident part of the road, there were two branches of the road leaving the area. I went up with one with flashlights looking for a bike tread, footprints, or rocks out of their cradle in between where the prints of the trucks were. There was nothing. I tried the other road, and sure enough, about 100 yards down it, I found several inches of undisturbed bike trail. It wasn't much, but it was the same bike, and then I knew which road they took. It was tedious to search the road, and that driving slow and getting out every time there was any spot where they could have left the road and finding their direction of travel again. About 3 a.m., base call, camp called us in. They wanted to give up the search for the night and start at first light. This told me two things. One, that they didn't believe I was on the boys' sign, and two, that the boy, they thought the boys were dead or kidnapped and now out of the area. Bless my teammate. He radioed that we were low on batteries and didn't get the last transmission. Just about then, I found that the two boys started walking their bikes and the trucks hadn't come down the road this far, and I found that there were two bikes with undisturbed tracks and that the boys had wet shoes. My teammates felt like we were getting very close to catching up with them and ignored the radio trying to call us in. I think they might have sent someone to fetch us, but we were getting more and more excited about the sign we were following and kept going. I couldn't believe how far these two had gone away from where they were supposed to be. In another mile, we finally caught up with them, two shivering, soaked, wet kids trying to find a way to stay warm, wandering down a road they felt must eventually take them home, and getting further and further into the wilderness. In a short time, my teammates had the two boys stripped and into sleeping bags, sitting by a fire and drinking hot chocolate. Then we found enough battery power to call in and let the team know we had found something. When they were warm enough, I showed the boys their tracks and how I had followed them. I went home that morning knowing that I had been paid in full for all the money I had spent on classes when I saw the look on their grandmother's face as the team delivered them safe and sound. My team slipped out of base camp as the news trucks came in and we went to get some sleep. The feeling of finding a lost person is the whole reason people volunteer for search and rescue, and no news crews will ever understand that nothing else needs to be said. A couple of days later, I kayaked up to the spot where their team had seen the slipping marks to the river. I found the boys' tracks in the water as they waded through the sandbar. There, they went up the river, following the sandbar until it was shallow enough for them to cross to the other side. I got out of my kayak to prove it could be done and saw that the tracks of their bikes were still on the bottom. Sure enough, one of the boys told the deputy that he had fallen down there with his bike, and his distressed little brother decided to go down there too. When they were at the bottom, they found the easier way out and crossed the river. I also found what couldn't be seen in the dark. A $5 bill dropped out of one of their pockets, resting on the bottom of the river. The boys came to one of our fundraising events months later, and I'd asked them if they lost something. They couldn't remember, but the team brought them breakfast anyway. And that's why I always call this one the $5 rescue.